Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes today. I'm honored and privileged to have with me the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. Yes, he is my friend, but he, I think, is doing a great job as mayor. And seeing the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine, and those are my guests. I guess I can say that. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, the mayor's office, and the mayor, or Peter White in the city council, and or the guy driving the motorized bike down the middle of the sidewalk on North Street. That does fry my bacon. But here we are. How are you, Mr. Mayor?
I am terrific. How are you, sir?
I'm old, fat, and bald, but I thank you for asking. I want to make mention, and I will post it on my Facebook if I can do it. The mayor, through the Department of Public Services Commissioner Ricardo Morales, has a plan, an updated Pittsfield pothole management plan. And I just thanked the mayor before we got on television for that, simply because that's what we call active management. There's a crisis. Keep the people informed of where the crisis is and what you're doing about it. And Mr. Mayor, thank you for that. And Commissioner Morales.
As I returned from vacation, the city of Pittsfield looked a lot differently. And the week that I was away. And so first thing Monday morning, it was, we need to communicate a plan. You know, I mean, I've learned I can't govern Facebook because you do nothing but chase your tail. But clearly, right. I think pothole season is definitely upon us. And yep. I think there's no skirting the fact that it's a pretty bad pothole year. You know, I reflect back on where I was in February of 2024 when we were filling potholes for a week or so in February when it was 50 degrees and decent weather. I think this winter has been worse than the last couple in terms of the amount of snow that we're getting. And it's not like we got a 30-inch snowstorm, but we're getting 2 inches here, 2 inches there. We get a rainstorm, and then it freezes really quick. And we know that those are all recipes for disaster in terms of potholes. And we know that we're no different than the Northeast. You know, I've heard from a lot of people that every place around Pittsfield is fine, but Pittsfield, I'd like to know the roads they've been traveling on, because I haven't had the same experience. But I didn't want to go down that road. We're going to address the pothole situation. What are we going to do? So from now until the plant's open, here's the game plan. This is what we're doing. When the plant's open, you know, we could be much more engaged in filling potholes. But we've already communicated once before that thanks to some state dollars and state partnership, there's quite a bit of roads that will be repaired this summer. And so let's remind folks who those are and where those are. And, you know, that is South Street, that is North Street, that is
East Street. First Street.
We know, you know, Valentine Road is in need of some serious repair. And I see it every day. I drive it every day. Folks kind of make a joke about, well, if the mayor lived on that road, it would be fixed. He does. But the fact of the matter is, if we had paved that last year and then we dug it up this spring to do water work, people would be complaining that we wasted money. So you're either going to complain that I wasted money or that I didn't repair a road. And either way, I lose. And so we took the financially prudent work route, and we didn't pave a road then to tear it up 6 months later. So that's where that is. Lyman Street has got some Berkshire Gas work taking place. And once that's finished, that will also be repaired. And we're diligently working on the 2025 street list. And I think it's important that as we bring that forward, we need to be very clear that the 2025 street list is streets that will get fixed between July 1st, 2025 and June 30th, 2026. So they don't necessarily all have to be completed
Right.
this summer. It's the fiscal year 26 budget that takes through that time frame.
And I, from my viewpoint, I'd like to thank all the city employees, especially the Department of Public Services and Utilities, and all the people, the contractors that plowed. It was a crazy storm. It was like just a never-ending, constantly changing from rain to ice to snow back to ice. I don't think sometimes we people, citizens, give enough credit to those people. They're away from their families. I understand they were working 12-hour days and continuously. And it's been an abnormal winter, I would think. We've had snow, but we've never had snow, ice, and rain.
No, and I think you make some valid points. And I think that folks kind of have to understand, and I thought we've been pretty straightforward and at the forefront of the issues all year long. And I think that the highway department and all those involved have done a tremendous job throughout the entire winter. You know, the last storm was a little bit iffy, but as you said, I think there's some logic behind it. Number one, it was a 48-hour plus storm. And folks have to understand that when we go into storm mode, our public services, public works, all those involved are working 12-hour shifts. They're either working noon to midnight or midnight to noon, and they're working nonstop. The city personnel is not sufficient enough to plow the entire city. And so we rely on contractors. There are not enough contractors, and contractors can't go out necessarily in shifts. So they're not working 12 hours on, 12 hours off. So they're working so many hours, they need to go home and rest, and then they come back out again. And that's, you know, the nature of the beast. I've already had a conversation with the commissioner that when we get to spring, one of the things that we need to do is to call a meeting with all of the contractors that have done contracting work with Pittsfield over the last 5 years, bring them into a meeting and say, okay, some of you no longer apply to be a contractor for the city of Pittsfield. Why? And I think we need to hear them. And is it pay? Is it our call-in process? Is it we feel we can make more money going out and doing private contracting work than contracting with the city? What are the issues? And let us have some opportunity to see if we can make some repairs to the reasons why folks aren't plowing with the city, and see what we can do. And I think that's an important piece. You know, we tried to offer that at one point in time with contractors and the building commissioner, and we held that meeting, and it was a very sparsely attended meeting, but I think it's important for us to continue to reach out and do what we can do when we can do it.
And I think too, it's, again, it's transparent government. I hate using that word because it gets so misused, but it is transparent government, bringing in the people, saying, you know, what are your issues? Why don't you want to contract with the city anymore? And, you know, it could be some of them bought trucks, expensive trucks with sanders and all that, plows. And then we had those mild winters, so they didn't get whatever. But I applaud you for doing that. I hope, and I just have to put my 2 cents in. Whoever the contractor is that does Arlington, and that's the only one I know, you have done, sir, a magnificent job. That's a tough hill. I've had people come down and slide right into my driveway, so I don't park the car close to the street. But this year especially, you've plowed it wide. You've salted and sanded or whatever you put on it. And I want to thank you. And you know, as you do know, you live on probably the worst street in the city.
At the moment, yeah.
Yeah. But you did the smart thing. How many times have we seen this, Peter, in our careers? Here it comes. They repaved the street, and a week later, there they are jackhammering it up to put a new gas line in or water line or sewer line. So I applaud you for forward thinking. That's what I call it.
And you know, I mean, drive around the city, yes, it's really bad in some places. Valentine Road is not great at all. And, you know, I think that some of it has to be that we as people also have to accept some responsibility and slow down.
That's right.
And maneuver. And I get it. It's hard. I watch and I do it myself. I'm driving the solid yellow line to avoid a pothole. But and I think if we slow down and take our time, we know it's every year. And quite frankly, for those that want to be like, well, this is the worst year ever, maybe it is. But it's something that happens to us on a yearly basis. It happens to many Northeast communities. And when I returned, it was important in my mind to communicate, here's the plan, here's what we're doing. Because I spent a lot amount of time on vacation responding to messages about potholes. And it's hard to fix when, you know, this week alone, it was freezing yesterday.
Yeah.
It's warm today. It's raining today. It's warm tomorrow, raining tomorrow. And then if I saw things great Thursday night into Friday morning, it's going to freeze and snow. And so, you know, any work that may have been done because it's temporary fix with man-made hot patch from our Bogala, it's not going to stick, and we know it, but you can't completely ignore it, so you put a temporary fix.
Yeah, and one other thing I'd like to say in public, Casala, trash pickup, the toters, hats off to all of them. And I'll tell you why. With snowbanks and I won't say where or who, people putting their toter on top of a snowbank doesn't really help the person driving the truck. Because when they put it back down, well, you know. But I think considering the conditions and considering the skill needed to operate those, I know some counselors like to grandstand and say, well, you didn't do this street. Well, you know, some of the streets they do, they're great drivers. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, you know, I think we've addressed it several times now. There are some hiccups in the process.
Yeah.
You know, after the last go-round, I've been very clear with Casella that if we're continuing to have issues about missing streets or other issues, they can come before the city council and answer the questions. The commissioner and I are not going to be the people answering the questions. And quite frankly, there are certain issues that are happening with trash collection that, to me, take the change in process out of the equation. If people are putting out the wrong type of recyclables,
that's right.
It has nothing to do with automation.
No.
If people are not putting their trash at all, has nothing to do with the piece. And if they're forgetting to pick up streets, automation, no automation, they used to forget to pick up streets before. It's now happening more often. Why? But that shouldn't be something of a automation thing. You know, if we're going to have an argument about the size of the toter or the quality of the toter, those are conversations that I would engage in based on the change of process. I put out the wrong type of recycling. I'm putting the cart out the wrong way with the wheels facing the road rather than the house. those are you know, non-starters for me in some cases.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, the people who got the box up and stuff sticking up a half a foot out of the toter itself. I often wonder how the guys and gals do it to drive those trucks, because I just take my hat off to them. And there's still people with the garbage bags on top of the toter. And so I just am saying, I'd like to thank them, and I'm sure there's issues, but there's going to be issues when you have weather and streets and parking and all of these things and snow removal that isn't being removed because there's cars parked all night. I refuse to become part of the crowd that just wants to jump on the bandwagon. I'm sorry. I'm just the way I am. I watch and see how hard they work. I watched a guy go up Arlington on cars on both sides. I don't know whether it was trash or recycle. I didn't see that. But on the things on top of snowbanks. You know, I don't think you have to be a garbologist to realize you don't want to put it on top of a snowbank. But no, they're doing good. I think sometimes some of our elected officials are very critical. And
you know, I'm staying focused on the plan, the purpose.
Yeah,
we continue to see progress being made, both in the lowering amounts of trash being disposed of, and you know, after the month of January, recyclables were up to 20%.
Wow!
So we're definitely moving in the right direction.
Right direction.
Well, the February numbers have not come out yet, but we get a weekly report from Casella of where are the problems. It is coming down to multiple repeat offenders. The rest of the community is figuring it out. And, you know, we knew it was going to take time. You know, any two people can agree to disagree on the size or the quality of the toter, or even if the whole idea is a good idea or not. You know, in some cases, the train has left the station. This is where we're at. This is what we're doing. And I think our job is to continue to look for ways to improve. You know, we've talked before about, can we do things differently during a holiday season? Can we offer other types of pickup that we've never offered before?
Yeah.
And I think that's what we focus on in the coming months as we move forward with the continuation of the implementation.
And like you said, it's a work in progress. And I think it'll always be a work in progress because it's constantly changing. You know, seasons change. What people throw away changes. What do you think about all this? Do you think it will affect the city, some of these budget cuts that the new president has put in?
So we're following that on a regular basis. I do think that we will see some impacts. You know, we have received notification from the Department of Labor being very clear on language and how our language fits into the executive orders. We have seen that with our AmeriCorps program that runs the RSVP of Berkshire County. We have seen that we must abide by the president's executive order or lose funding. And just before my vacation, we talked about our three options, and one was to say we were in compliance, even though their letter pointed out all the places that we weren't in compliance. We could amend and come into compliance, or we could say we're not going to come into compliance and you can take our money back. We went back and forth on what to do and eventually decided to amend and comply for now. You know, my concern is, no, I'm not going to get rid of DEI. No, I'm not going to get rid of words like gender identity or gender or race. And you send that back, and that's a big red flag to the federal government that we're not going to cooperate. There are millions of dollars that are federal dollars that come into the city of Pittsfield, a large chunk of it through the school system, that if we lose $20 million in funding from the federal government, the city can't make that up. And that means reductions in whatever services, programs, or whatever the case may be. So, you know, we take each day and each memo or announcement by its word. You know, we're recording this on Wednesday, March 5th, the day after an announcement that many federal buildings across the state of Massachusetts have been deemed not fully used to its full purpose and may potentially be for sale. And the Silvio Conti building, on the federal building on Center Street, is one of those buildings. What is the city going to do? Don't know. You know, we've been 12 hours, almost 24 hours into this process. And, you know, the city council agenda has just come out. Council Warren is looking for the city of Pittsfield to buy that building. Maybe that's a good idea, but the city just can't go out and buy buildings however it wants to. There's a procurement process and a legal process of which we need to follow. And so, you know, we can look at that. There are many city offices that we lease space for where, to me, it would make sense to have a city-owned building to put stuff into. But I don't think that we hear an announcement at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night that a building may be available for sale, and on Wednesday night we say, let's buy it. Yeah. I think we've got to do some more work and kind of do our due diligence.
Well, I also think, too, from my own experience in that building, the entire second floor is the VA clinic. So some of it, I believe, may change. The first floor, some people, I don't know for sure, but they have security guards there. But so Richie Neal's office is in there. Department of Agriculture is on the first floor. Social Security, I'm not sure. There's a lot of people in the Social Security office. I'm not, but I would think Congressman Neal would probably put up a stink to that. But
I'm sure many will. You know, I mean, we're currently at a place that, I think as a community, we need to pause each time, you know, a new executive order comes out or a new directive that comes out. You know, it was not that long ago that all federal monies were frozen. Everyone is in this hype and panic and, oh my God, what are we going to do? All right, well, so time out. First of all, we're going to do an analysis to ensure that we know exactly what departments are federally funded where. And then two, we're going to monitor, because I find it hard to believe that whatever you want to call it, congressional spending directives, it used to be the pork spending or whatever they called it. I find it hard to believe that that's all going to go away, because every senator and representative needs to go back to their district and go, look what we did for you. It doesn't matter whether the district is blue or red. Got to go back and say, look what I've done for you. And we as residents hold them accountable for what have you done for me. And it's become a society that it isn't what have you done for me. You know, you've been my leader for 10 years and here's the hundreds of accomplishments that you've got, but it's what have you done for me lately? So if you didn't do anything for me yesterday or today, then it's an issue. And you know, hopefully we can change that narrative. But I think, you know, my job is to ensure that we still provide the services and to a level that the Pittsfield community expects. And, you know, if we can't use DEI and we're forced to go back to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, there's a lot in the Civil Rights Acts of 1964 protections that we can use to protect citizens. And I it's too early to either put my hands up and say, hey, we can't do this, or to coalesce behind directives that are coming that I'm not even sure the folks in Washington understand what these directives mean.
And you made an interesting point, and I want the people to know, too, when they say federal funding, that could be the meal program at the schools.
Correct.
Because that's almost 100%, isn't it? Pretty close to federally funded.
Well, there's quite a few federally funded, I'm going to get them all wrong, but like Title III, Title IV, Title V.
Yeah.
They're all federally funded school programs or related to schools, where if we lose that funding, it has impacts. And, you know, I think that when we pause and we say, okay, what does inclusive mean? I think inclusive means many things to many people.
Right.
And sure, it can be about race and sexuality and gender identity. But I think it also is about a person with disabilities and allowing them the opportunity. So if we're getting rid of all that stuff, what does that mean? Right. And I get it. When I first took office, and even today, when we think the community needs to know something, we put out a press release or we call a press conference and we put the information out there. Now, if you disagree with the information that we're putting out, that's okay. But at least we're informing you, and decisions should be made on factual information and not what you heard down the street. And I think as we interpret what's happening at the federal government, you know, I watched a bit last night, and, you know, you've probably ingrained in my head through the show that it's okay to disagree.
Yeah.
Just don't be disagreeable.
Right.
You know, when you're sitting on the House floor, I think there's a proper decorum. And so, I don't think the President of the United States should be sending insult after insult. But B, I don't think that Democrats should be filibustering a speech or holding up signs or in some sense being disrespectful. You don't have to like me, but please respect the office of the mayor of the city of Pittsfield.
Exactly.
You don't have to like the President of the United States, but please respect the office of President of the United States. And I think sometimes that gets lost in the party, the politics, the personalities, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I think it's important for us to take a step back and, you know, just kind of sort some of that stuff out.
Yeah. And, you know, thank you for, I guess, the compliment, but I've had people on this show that I wouldn't have a coffee with, but they have a right to be. And I've had a couple of them come back and say, you were very kind to me. Thank you. And that's because they have a right. We are Pittsfield Community Radio. We are Pittsfield Community Television. You are part of this community. You have a right to be on this broadcast, in my opinion. Now, going back to what you said, recently I had to defend our Congressman Neal, because some of the yahoos and people who probably disagree with me and you were saying, well, he went to Trump's inauguration. What kind of a guy is he to do that? Well, let me tell you, he's the kind of guy that believes in the status of the presidency, the tradition of the inauguration, and the protocol of being a United States congressman. You're supposed to be there. Like when you're a senior in high school, you're supposed to be in the school.
And I mean, honestly, you know, you can look at transitions. I don't know what it would have felt like to be President Biden or Vice President Harris sitting there on the stage, listening and witnessing what was taking place. But yeah, that's democracy. You yeah, lost an election. The power switches to another person. And, you know, I had a number of people comment to me, you know, right after last year's inauguration that we did something that probably has never happened before. And the outgoing mayor was introduced and was able to go in and take a seat during the ceremony. It's probably the first time in 25 years that an outgoing mayor was at the inauguration of an incoming mayor in the city of Pittsfield. And so, I mean, I think that those things matter, you know, a peaceful transition to Pittsfield, big deal. It doesn't amount to a whole hill of beans, but as much as
it sets a tone.
Right. You know, even though I personally sit and wonder, what are you doing? I don't like this policy. I don't like this policy. You know, I listened to the phrase last night. It's been documented that we've had the least amount of undocumented people cross the border since I've been president. I'm confused because to me, undocumented people are people that sneak in and we're not counting them. So I don't know how you can make that statement. And I think that that's where, if we want to be critical, we should be critical on policies, right? If you think that the mayor has failed on filling potholes, it's okay to criticize the mayor's policy on potholes. If you think that the mayor has gone crazy with a trash proposal, it's okay to attack the proposal. It's not okay to attack the person. And I think that if we could get back to that kind of society, we'd be better off.
We're going to take a break here. I'm with Peter Marchetti. He is the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. He's got broad shoulders. He's been in the political arena. He knows he really knows how to do it and do it right. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio. We are broadcasting in Southern Berkshire on FM 88.1. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
Need help with a new device? PCTV's Digital Navigator can match you with a free laptop, desktop, tablet, or hotspot from our available stock, thanks to the Alliance for Digital Equity. We'll also assess if your current device is worth fixing or ready to recycle. Get a free consultation at PCTV 4 Federico Drive, Pittsfield, or call 413-445-4234. Brought to you by PCTV and the Alliance for Digital Equity, keeping communities connected.
Larry Kratka here on WTBR, and I want to tell you about my show, Sweet Country Music. Now, every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon, I'll play some of the best classic country artists like Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline, and many more. I'll play nothing before 2008. Please join me Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for the next edition of Sweet Country Music here on 89.7 WTBR FM for the love of radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. All right, we are back. The good-looking guy you see there with hair, he's Peter Marchetti. He is the mayor. And I've known him when his hair used to be black. And when I had hair, Roseanne did not, the Polish princess did not hit me with a poker. It's Ash Wednesday, and we're Zooming videotaping this now. It'll air next week. But I for the people that are just tuning in, I thank the mayor, and I thanked all the Department of Public Works, the plow drivers, the contracted, and the Casella trash people. It's an awful winter. The mayor has a plan right here. You can get it. Oops, sorry. Right there. And if just for those people coming on, the plan is, and I'll let the mayor tell you, but they are going to be resurfacing and project scheduled for this year. And he'll explain what that means. The work includes the paving of. Your turn.
Yeah, so we're on a two-phased approach. We are using the city's hot box to formulate our own ability to kind of hot patch potholes because the plants aren't open. And so once the plants open, there'll be a much more aggressive approach. But, you know, we're currently working on them. And then our list of city streets for paving has not been finalized as of yet, but we have been working in partnership with the state DOT. And we already know we're under contract for a good portion of South Street, really from South Mountain Road to West Housatonic Street. We'll get done North Street all the way out to the Lanesboro line, East Street, and the stretch of road that hasn't been done, Lyman Street to the State Bridge. Lyman Street itself is under construction with Berkshire Gas, and so that will be completely done post that. Crane Avenue is on the list. Valentine Road is on the list once the water main replacements have taken place. West Street, West and West is being taken care of through some work. And so there'll be a lot of paving this summer. In the meantime, every chance that we can get out to combat potholes when it's not raining or below zero, we will be out to do what needs to be done for the springtime.
And I applaud the people who are doing it, too, because I watched them the other day. I happened to just be there. And the way they're doing it, and they're doing the best they can, considering all the issues. All the weather issues. Let's be honest and truthful here. Some of these streets are older than I am, and that's old. So they've served us well, and they're on their way to the, you know, highway heaven, I guess. I can't think of anything better. But they'll be recycled and sent back to be the new blacktop. We talked also about all this going on in Washington in the first half. And I think the mayor is really, you know, you can cut your nose off to spite your face and say, no, we're not going to do away with that. You can't tell us. And they're right. They can't tell us. We can keep it at a cost. And I'm not sure the city can absorb all the costs. I'm not sure the state can absorb all the costs.
Well, and I think that that becomes the fundamental stuff, right? We are people. We have our beliefs. I think that there is a way to behave and to govern by, and then there's policies and stuff in writing. And do you need to keep a policy that says blah 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 in it, or can you just continue to operate the way you've been operating and not have the blah 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 in it? And that, you know, I think is going to be something that we're going to have to kind of see our way through. And some of it, you know, RSVP funding, you know, coming from AmeriCorps, you know, we're talking $50,000, you know, can the city absorb it? Sure. But when you filed your grant application a year ago for a 3-year commitment,
right,
the rules and the regulations were be, you know, state this and state that and make sure you talk about all of your DEI policies. And now you're in a place that says, whoa, DEI, no, 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 that doesn't exist. Get rid of it. You know, there needs to be some time to kind of flesh through. People are people. I think we need to continue to treat people the way that we've always treated them,
yes,
providing that we were treating them properly to begin with, and move on. And you know, I think that most of us would be absolutely crazy if we pivoted on every executive order or every comment. And you know, here we are in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. You hear X. Do you know it's true? Or because this one told that one who told that one who told 100 more people, you know,
what do
you know? And you know, I've seen the executive order memos that are coming out to communities, and I'm a little taken back at some of the language and how they're written. But I think that we need to read them, we need to absorb them, and we need to figure out what's best for Pittsfield each and every turn. And can we go the route without the money? I think is going to be one of our biggest questions that we face as we go through this process.
And I think you just nailed it on the head. It's a multi-headed dragon.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one thing. I'm a big supporter. You know, I've had Lisa on of RSVP. I can't even imagine why they would cut that out. That is kind of the lifeblood for our not-for-profits. Now, I'm probably going to say something to get me in trouble. It won't get you in trouble. And that is, you know, I worked for a boss when I was a policy developer, and he used to tell me, don't do the knee-jerk policy to solve this current problem. Look down the road, because what'll happen, and I've seen it happen, policies that were written to take care of a specific problem, and then 4 years later, they are the problem. And you've been in business world. You've seen the same thing. So I think, there's probably a lot of, I'm not going to say fraud. Some departments, they almost relate themselves to fraud. And we see it, I read it every day in the Department of Justice, this guy's going to doctor bill Medicare or Medicaid for $1 billion, and like, it was all corruption. But I wish they would slow down and take a look at what they're cutting and what that means. Just to come in and slash and clash, you might cut your own arm off. I'm sure they're not listening to this program, but if they were, that would be my advice.
Well, I think on our side, instead of reacting,
yeah,
right? I mean, things change so fast. Yes, the money's frozen. No, it's not. This part is good. No, that part's not. I mean, I think that we have to kind of read, interpret, make some decisions, and reading it and having a knee-jerk reaction without really thinking it through is not what I would say is in the best interest for Pittsfield right now. And so
it's never been your style either, even when you're on the council.
Well, that's probably a truism. You know, you saying that, and all the years of running Pittsfield's 4th of July parade,
yeah,
I always had a companion who would say to me and what's your plan B? Because you always have a plan B. Yeah. And Lou Markham was always there to be like, no, this is what you're telling everyone. But if this isn't going to work, what's your plan B?
Yeah.
Because you already always have one. And, you know, I think that sometimes we kind of have to think this through, that this is what I would really like to have happen. But if it can't, how do I make this happen? And I think that that's where we're at right now. You know, it's 44 days into a 4-year venture.
Yeah.
I have no idea. You know, some of the stuff makes sense. Sure. I can relate to it as I go through this budget season. Are there places that we can make changes in Pittsfield's budget and try to make reductions? You know, it's $4 to $5 million in overtime between three city departments.
Yeah.
How can you manage that differently, and make things look and feel differently and operate differently? But we as a community, as we as humans, as each individual person, we all get comfortable in what we know.
Yeah.
And the way that we do things. And so every once in a while, it's okay to question, what are you doing and how are you doing it? And yeah. Are you really, you know, maximizing your dollar, or are you just doing what you need to do to get by? And we need to look at those, you know, on the state level, on the federal level, on the city level. And there's no doubt in my mind that at the federal level, things can change. You know, I think part of me, you know, listening to the president speak last night and listening to the millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars that we're sending to other countries for a variety of things, you know, if that's accurate, if that's accurate data, hello, give me $50 million for housing in the state of Massachusetts before you give it to some other community. And so, you know, as I hear the things and you watch news, which news station are you listening depends on the spin that you get. And when you're done, which one is accurate? And, you know, I think we've always said, when there's two sides of a story, the truth is somewhere in the middle. That's what we need to figure out as a community and as a nation as we go through this process.
Yeah, I was astonished, and I've had experience with the USAID myself, and some of it has been wonderful, and others has been trying, but in my former life. But I was astonished at some of the... And the dollar amounts, it wasn't what they did, it was the dollar amounts to do it. You know yourself, when you as a mayor, and you're reading it and you're saying, wait a minute, I could do that for, you know, 20 grand, not 200 grand, you know.
And I'm saying, what can we do to take care of our own peeps first?
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting here as a city, as a state, as a nation, and we're talking about the epidemic between mental health crisis, substance use issues, and homelessness. How much of those monies could be put into providing the services that we need to implement to solve these problems? And, you know, so for me, you know, we can jump on a bandwagon and everything's bad, but if we're going to save that money, is there a portion of that money that can go to Pittsfield, Massachusetts, United States, Texas, whatever, those monies go to the people of America that we need to solve problems for?
The people who sent the money in, can they get a little bit of it back? Yeah, you know, I don't envy the city of Pittsfield. I don't envy you. I don't envy the council, because God only knows what they're going to come up with next. I mean, when I heard the federal building, they just built that thing. And when they say, well, it's underused, well, when I'm in it, it's not underused. And I'm on the second floor. And when I come in it, there's offices to the right and left on the first floor, and people are in there. So I want to know where they're coming up with their utilization studies, because I've had to do those for jobs to save or get new jobs, do a utilization. So you've had to do them in the bank. And, I mean, to me, it's just you got to be more refined. Is that the – correct me if that's not the word, but I think
– No, I mean, I think that that is the case.
Yeah, I mean, you're just taking an axe or a sword. And I you know, the Department of Education, I can see the logic where 40th in all the states countries that they measure in education, and we're spending like $1 billion. But I also think this will get me in trouble again. But I also really believe that I would love to see the money come to the state and the local communities.
Right.
I really would. I've lived all over this country. I've lived all over the world. We have a different education philosophy and ethos here than they may have in Alabama.
Yep.
Or Washington, D.C.
Well, and I mean, I think as we, you know, we've alluded to the epidemic for mental health and substance use where we need the services. We also know that we need a large deal of housing, and you know, housing is not even close to cheap. And so, how do we reallocate some of these dollars to the immediate needs that we as a community have? And maybe not every community has a housing crisis.
Right.
It seems to be that most of us in Massachusetts do, but is North Carolina under the same crisis? And you know, the world that we're living in today, you know, I'm baffled at the fires and the weather and the things, the floodings and the stuff that is happening, and going, I'm glad I live where I live, because we're at a, you know, at a minimal impact for some of these things.
Well, the Polish princess and I lived in Kansas. And I want to tell you, the first night we were in our house, we didn't have curtains yet. We put sheets over the thing, and all of a sudden, the sheets got sucked to the window. And the phone rang, and this good friend of mine who lived there all his life said, get down in your basement, or you got tornadoes all around you. So you're right, Peter. We don't have hurricanes, but what we do have is we have a population in need. And I have to say this, this is Brain Injury Month. March is Brain Injury Month. And a lot of our issues around homelessness and people like that, it's not, and I'm you're probably going to sense I'm a little frustrated. I'm a little frustrated with some people just saying, just get them a place to live, do this. The issue is much more difficult than just that. If it were that simple, that would be easy to fix. But unfortunately, there's a lot of humanity in the problem, and I don't think we're always looking at the humanity piece.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think that some of the issues that we face are so complex and so multifaceted that a simple mind solution is not going to get us to where we need to be. But I don't want to be critical of folks that say that, because if they don't have the experience or involvement,
I'm just saying.
It becomes frustrating because, you know, why can't you fix this? Well, here are the other seven issues that are on the radar screen today, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look at it this way. I get up every morning. I have to shave. I'm looking myself in the mirror. And I'm doing the best that I can with the resources that I have, and will continue to do so. And, you know, at this stage of the game, we'll probably be asking the voters for a second term in 2027 to continue.
Well, let me talk to you first before you do that. Don't jump into the water until we test it first. No, I'm like, whatever.
And, you know, at that point in time, I think that I've been around long enough to understand the political system, and the voters get to decide the future from there, and But I'm going to continue over the next 3 years to make decisions and look for opportunities where we can expand. And, you know, we talk about the things, and we always talk about going out and finding that new company that's going to come to Pittsfield and save the problems. Well, how about we look at our companies that are already growing?
Already and, here.
You know, look at Patrika or Unistress and look at their plans to expand, and look at the fact that they could add 50 jobs at 50 grand a year. Let's look at what Interprint did a couple years ago with their expansion. You know, there's another, many other companies in the city that are looking to expand. How can we find them some resources to give them the assistance that they need?
And along with that, as you know, I'm just helping you out with this, we have to make sure we have the infrastructure to do it.
Correct.
And right now, you've got a good group of people looking at that, bringing that to fruition, to light. And what we are a dynamic city. You know, we lost GE. That was, I don't know whose fault, but it's gone. It's never going to come back as we knew it. But
well, you know, and it's interesting, you know, you just said, and I don't know whose fault, right? I had a meeting earlier today outside my office at a company, and, you know, it was to solve an issue. And we started the conversation about, it really doesn't matter whose fault it is. We're here to find a solution and a resolution to a problem. And I think if we as a community spent more time focusing on solutions and resolutions rather than being able to point the finger, look at, if I could promise a 300 job increase in the next 6 months or 3 years and 500, 600 units of housing and if I could do all that and you still want to point your finger at me and say, you're bad, you're the problem, you can point at me all day. It wouldn't matter. And so I continue to look for all those success stories, you know, looking at how we further expand upon the condition of Site 9 and where we go, and working with Milltown to finish those, working with Patrika to, you know, help their expansion and build. Look at the 14 businesses that have opened in 2024 in downtown Pittsfield, making sure they're a success story rather than a statistic. Those are the pieces that we need to be focusing on every single day, and that's where my commitment lies.
And before we have to go, and I will say this, WTBR, PCTV, we have been supporting local businesses with free 26 to 28 minute ads, because these are tough times. These are what's known in the retail world as the tunnel months. It's cold. People don't want to go out. It's just as easy to go. But Peter will back me up on this. The mayor will back me up on this. Shop locally. These are our neighbors. These are our friends. You want Pittsfield to prosper? Well, by golly, shop locally, because Amazon doesn't give us a dime that I know of. Maybe I'm wrong. But
no, you're right.
All I can say, and it's convenient. And yes, there's times I've used Amazon when I can't buy something locally. But I try to support, and we do support, and we are going to continue WTBR and PCTV to help out local businesses as much as we can. And if you're interested in doing a blurb or tell us about your business for, say, 26, 28 minutes, give me a call. And I will do everything I can to help you get on and promote your business. And Mr. Mayor, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
And talk to me before you make that decision, huh?
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of breaking news. The mayor is considering running for a second term. Breaking news, WTBR.
Yay.
Yay. God love you, Peter. Take care.
All right. Thanks,
everyone. God bless, and take care of each other today. Please. We're in this all together. Let's try to take care of each other and lift somebody else's heavy load. Take care.